All right. Luke chapter 10. We're looking at kingdom realities. We're going to continue from where we stopped yesterday. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast eat these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said, Blessed are your eyes, which see these things, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not what? Heard them. So we saw how Jesus explained revelation. It says, Jesus said that no man can know the Son except he to whom the Father will reveal him. So God can only be revealed. So that explains to us what happened in Matthew chapter 16. Look at Matthew chapter 16, which is where we started from in the series. Matthew chapter 16. We saw the question Jesus asked his disciples in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, Who do men say that I am the Son of Man am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is where? In heaven. So we said that you have to understand the language scriptures, that it's not every time Jesus mentions heaven that he's talking about a geographical location. Many times he's talking about a position. That means to make a distinction between a natural father and a spiritual father, he now says, but my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. In other words, flesh and blood has not revealed to you that the source of your information and knowledge didn't come from man. It came from my Father which is in heaven. Which is in heaven there does not refer to heaven as a physical location. It simply speaks about what? A position. Say amen. Because when Jesus was speaking, let me ask a question again. Where was the Father? Where was the Father? It was in Christ. So he simply talks about the one in the spirit realm, the one that is unseen, but who is in me. Because John chapter 14 verse 10, Jesus said that, My Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Hallelujah. So when you hear Jesus use the word heaven or kingdom of heaven, he's explaining unseen realities. How do you explain unseen realities? He used natural words as much as possible to explain what? Unseen reality. So he's saying that your Father who is in the spirit, the same as your Father which is in heaven, is the one who does the works. He's the one who revealed these things unto you. That's what Jesus was saying. So now notice how he says, You are blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood are not revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So we said, How does the Father reveal? By faith. Say by faith. Say by faith. Okay, so Jesus said in that Luke chapter 10 from verse 21, he says, You have eaten these things from the wise and the prudent. And in this series, we've seen what does he mean by God hid it. It's not talking about God in an active sense. It's talking about God in a passive sense. In other words, God's wisdom is hidden from the intellect of those who are wise. When we say those who are wise according to what? The standard of this world. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 again. Verse 6. I'm going to say a lot of things together so that we can quickly move on. Howbeit we speak what? Wisdom among them that are perfect. What perfect is what? Mature. Those who mature. Okay. It says, Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. So it tells you there's a wisdom of this world that is practiced by the princes of this world. So there are standards. There is what you call a point of reference that those who are rulers of this world, they actually use in weighing information and in relating. There's a wisdom like that. It says, but the wisdom we're speaking of is not that kind of wisdom. Look at what it says again in verse 7. But we speak what? The wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So again, when you see ordained before the world, simply means God's original plan is that those who will receive Christ by faith will embrace God's wisdom. That's what it means to be ordained before the world. To be ordained means that has been God's original plan. that men will come into Christ by faith. And coming to Christ, that is Christ is God's wisdom. Say amen. Do you understand so far? Okay, we're just going over some things we're looking for. Look at next verse. As it is written, okay? Look at this verse 8. But as it is written, verse 8, which none of the princes, this wisdom, none of the rulers of this world knew. The word princes here speaks about rulers. He is not talking about demonic powers here. Because there are times when he uses princes and he's referring to demonic powers. Here he's talking about men. Hallelujah. So if you look at Matthew chapter 2, for instance, when the wise men were looking for Jesus and they branched by Herod's powers, Herod is one of those princes. They are wise according to the world's affairs, but they are also rulers. So they have position of authority. Okay? So it says, which none of the rulers of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have what? Crucified. So you know it's not talking about the demonic being. Because it was the Jews and their rulers. Bible says, by wickedness they have taken Jesus and what? Crucified him. So if they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have what? Entered into the heart of man the things which God has won, prepared for them that love him. So if you put this side by side with Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15 that we read earlier, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. How does flesh and blood get information? Eyes we see, ears we hear, and the heart we understand. So if you bypass eyes seeing, ears hearing, for understanding to come, you are using another means of communicating, and the wisdom you are referring to will only occur by faith, not by observation. Hallelujah. Is that clear so far? So you see what it says now. Next verse. I quickly brought that up to speed in that area. Next verse, verse 18. Now it's verse. You're Matthew 16. I wanted you to continue. Okay. I say also unto thee. So also means in addition to the fact that flesh and blood, this is revelation. Your faith in the utterance of the prophets made this clear to you. What did Simon say? Thou art the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the promised one. You are the one the prophet spoke about. Hallelujah. So faith in the utterance of the prophets is what Jesus is saying, referring to as flesh and blood. That's not what revealed this, but my Father which is in heaven. That's what he's saying. Now, Jesus now continues from where Peter stopped. And says something. Says, this I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church upon this rock. Now, remember Luke 24. Look at Luke 24 from verse 27 or verse 25. Luke 24, 25. We're going to look at the word rock there. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? Spoken. Notice, all that the prophets have spoken. Is that all the prophets? Is that all the prophets? Yes, that's all the prophets. So there are things that all the prophets spoke. Now Jesus is resurrected now. He's speaking to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He's having a Bible study with them for the first time in a manner he has never had before. Look at the next thing he says. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and what? Enter into his glory. What things? They were discussing with Jesus. We suppose he will be the one that will redeem Israel. But now they've killed him. In other words, in their mind, killing and death was not part of the plan. But they took him. He was a prophet mighty word and deed, but they took him, they killed him. He's dead. The hope is extinguished. So Jesus now saying, oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, if they had shifted their focus from experience to what the prophet said, they would have seen the death was in the picture. Are you me tonight? They would have seen the death of Jesus had been spoken by the mouth of the prophets. They would have seen it. Why didn't they see it? Fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So from the mouth of the prophets, which prophets? We can pick at least two tonight that said something along that line. Let's look at one of them. David, Psalm 16 from verse 8. Psalm 16 from verse 8. We'll come back here. Psalm 16 from verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Next verse. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou will not leave my soul where? In hell. In that will you suffer your only one to see corruption. So is this Jesus speaking through the mouth of David? Yes. Is it David referring to himself? No. This is Jesus speaking, or this is David speaking the words of Christ when he was in the belly of that in hell. So why did Jesus go? Jesus knew. You need to understand the magnitude of God's power and ability. That an event that is yet to take place, before he ever became a man, God spoke out what he will say, what he will do through the mouth of men. And while this one says this part, this other one will pick up this part, you will not get the full picture until you put what they all said together. So David said this part, and he said other parts. Then Moses said some parts. Hallelujah. Moses said some parts. Jonah said a part. In Jonah chapter 2, when he was in the belly of the whale, Jonah was speaking. And the belly of the whale, through Jonah, was meant to signify Jesus in the belly of that for 3 days. All the drama about the whale swallowing Jonah wasn't just a miracle. It was to point attention to who? To Christ. Hallelujah. Joseph being in the pit for 3 days was to call attention to Christ, betrayed by his own brethren. Who are Jesus' brethren? The Jews. So through the stories that Moses wrote, he wove the revelation of Christ into those things. So you are thinking you're reading my book of Bible stories, but Christ will open it and show you, these are the things concerning me. You know, you start feeling that, oh, Joseph, he didn't do anything now. Why did they just hate him like that? Jesus said that he may fulfill what he was written, and they hated me without a cause. And when he went to Sunday, he said that, many good things have I done. For which of these good things do you stone me? And told Jesus, for a good deed you will stone thee not. But thou, being a man, you make yourself God. Here's the humorous part of it. He is God. Hallelujah. Was he making himself God? Is he? He is God. Some of Jesus will also get angry with him. He will now go back to what they know as scriptures. It is not written in your law, I have said you are gods. Many people are Pharisees. This is what you do for a living. I'm quoting John chapter 10, verse 28. They picked up stones. They were used picking stones. If you have followed chapter 7, they have been picking stones from chapter 7. If you are reading, no, they've been picking these stones for a long time. They will say that no, this was enough. But chapter 8, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, he said, finally, we have concluded, you have a devil. You have not yet 50 years, and have you seen Abraham? I said, no, before Abraham was, I am. You can imagine there. So when he said that, my father, look at John chapter 10, we'll come back. Okay. Yeah, so I am a father, I want. Then he gives up stones. This is what again? We should have put again, 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 again. Because from chapter 7, they'll be picking stone. Okay, look at chapter 8, verse 56. So you see that they've been picking stones for a long time. They've had 2,000 years of stoning people. If they stone you, you will surely die. You cannot escape it because they are practiced. They are experienced. They know exactly where to stone. Their hands are more accurate than catapult. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Did Abraham see Jesus' day? Yes. Did Abraham see Jesus literally? No. Did he see Jesus' day? Yes. What is Jesus' day? Who uses the word day? Who first started using the word day in the scriptures? Moses. You'll find it in the writings of Moses. Who wrote Genesis? Moses. Who wrote Exodus? Moses. Who brought in the concept of day? Moses. So when Moses is telling you, and on the seventh day God rested, stop counting Sunday. Because Jesus now borrowed from Moses. He will now tell you, my hour has not yet come. That's not 1 hour. Are you following? Jesus used Moses' vocabulary because it is his vocabulary on the lips of Moses. When you say, my hour has not yet come, that hour can be 5 months from that time. It can be 2 years from that time. So stop thinking, in the next 1 hour, it will soon come. No. It's a figure of speech. My hour has not yet come. And his hour is a reference to his resurrection. That's Jesus' hour. You can call it God's finest hour. When his plans became fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. That's God's finest hour. So you have to take your mind away from English language and men's thinking. That's the wisdom of men. This is the wisdom of God. So look at what Jesus told them. Look at what he now said. So then said to Jesus, you are not yet 50 years old and you have you seen Abraham? Jesus said, verily, verily. And when Jesus said verily, verily, that is, pay attention, is equivalent of I swear. I swear. Before Abraham was, I am. Let me rephrase it. The reason why Abraham was is because I am. I am that made Abraham was. Without me, Abraham has nothing to believe. For Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What did you believe? Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Ah. And that is God speaking again. If you have to decode, what is God saying? God appeared to Abraham. Genesis 15, look at verse 1. How many chapters are we in now? Several. Just follow. See. After these things, the word of God came unto Abraham in a vision. So this is God speaking in a vision. Fear not. Oh, glory to God. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield. And thy what? Exceeding great reward. Your shield means I am your defense from accusation. I'm the reason why you will never need to be accused. I'm the propitiation for your sins. That's Christ talking. It has not happened. It was a promise. By faith, Abraham was enjoying the promise before Jesus came. Because of the words. Because faith is in the words that were spoken. Your exceeding grace reward means that, see, okay, most of us, depending on where you work, if you're working for an organization that's a company that's not your own, there's a particular day of the month that something enters your account, isn't it? You receive bank alerts. Jesus is now telling, God is now telling Abraham, Abraham, check your spiritual account. I'm the payment there. I didn't make a deposit. I am the deposit. If you check your account balance, I'm the one inside it. I paid you with myself. That's what God said. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. That is God saying, when I come, I won't give you a life. I will give you myself as life. And in a vision, by prophecy, before it ever happened. So 6 now says, and Abraham believed God. What did he believe? What God said in verse 1. And he was counted to him for what? Righteousness. So Abraham had nothing to believe without Christ coming. Abraham had nothing to believe without Christ speaking. What did Christ say? I am is your shield. I am is your exceeding great reward. I am, they know for Moses writing, stands for God. I am all I need to be. I will be what needs to be, what I need to be. So when Jesus came, he was the first person. That should have alerted them, this is not just a prophet. Because he kept using the phrase, he personalized it. Before Abraham was, I am. Or before Abraham was, I, God. I am the secret of Abraham. I am Abraham's faith. So they took up stones again to stone him. So that's chapter 8, isn't it? So let's go back to chapter 10, where we were before now. So look at what he now said again. In case they didn't get that part in chapter 10, progressive revelation from verse 28. John 10, 28. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So let me ask you, who gives eternal life? Who gives eternal life? Okay, so if God is the one who gives you, when it says no man can pluck them, listen carefully, he is telling you the value, the strength, the weight of what he has given. So what he has given you will ensure no man is able to pluck you out of his hands. Let me put it another way. To have eternal life is to be born again, isn't it? And once you are born, you cannot be unborn. No man can pluck you. Actually, the word original Greek doesn't say no man. It said, nothing can pluck you out of my hands. You cannot be unborn. What if I lose my salvation? It's not available to be lost. It's not an ATM card you can carry in your pocket and lose in market. In fact, the security of your salvation is not in your heart. It is in heaven, where you cannot tamper with it. Hallelujah. Okay, let us leave that thought. Oh, yeah, okay. Next verse. Quickly. Go back. So, is eternal life temporal life? Who is eternal life? Christ Jesus. Okay. So, once there's an operation of the Spirit, and your spirit comes together with Christ, how do you infuse it? It is the work of God. Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Why are we debating losing salvation? I don't understand. Is English not clear enough? So Christ did the work. The work was so good that after I finished the work, and what the work required was his death, his burial, and after he rose, the work becomes irreversible. For you to lose the salvation, you will need to arise from the dead. We need to arise from the dead. Even need to arise from the dead. Can he arise? Pardon the English. So when you come back, you know what, you know the problem telling people have? They import things into the scriptures that are not there. So you are now saying, I can just do anything. It's a very stupid question. Why would you have the life of God and you want to just do anything? It's a question I want to ask. Are you really saved? Why would you have the life? Like I told somebody, say, when I'm not doing something, I'm not feeling guilty. I said, you are in a good place. You are feeling guilty. I said, don't you notice you don't lie spontaneously? You plan your lies. You are plotting. They now ask me this. I will now say, why? Eternal life is working. You feel guilty. You feel bad when you do something. You have not seen men whose conscience is dead until Christ comes in. These are not my words. This is God's words. What is the condition for a man perishing? Moses, knowing Christ by revelation, said to the nation of Israel, a prophet like unto me. And that's where they missed it. They thought he would appear like Moses. Like unto me means the same way I brought you out of Egypt. It will bring you out of the real Egypt. Because when I brought you out of Egypt, Egypt didn't leave you. But it will bring you out of Egypt, and Egypt will leave you. It will bring you out of spiritual death. A prophet like unto you will not the God is unto you, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall not hear that prophet, which is to believe that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. It doesn't say, whosoever, after he has heard and believes, and refuses to hear again. No. You hear only once. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? Christ. That's what it is. Once you have heard, there's a but. Once there's a but, it can't be reversed. Somebody was saying, they cannot force me. What if I want to wriggle out of his hand? You need your mind for something that's more decent. How did you think of wriggling out of God's hand? Is it a physical hand? You know, it's something that people just think about. Why do people think like that? What if I just wriggle? Think about it. The worst sinner confesses his lordship, gets saved. You are now saved. You are now plotting the kind of sin you will commit that will make you unsaved. Can you see your brain is not working well? It's not in something. It's just fact. Can you see something is wrong? I mean, a man who said to his other fellow, we are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing. The man was a bandit. He was a robber. He had killed people. He was a murderer. And he was about to die for his sins. And he looked at Jesus. I believe in you. When you get to your kingdom. So the man knew Jesus had the kingdom. And this is not the kingdom. Jesus looked at him. Oh, today I tell you, he will be with me in paradise. The man did not confess any sin. Confession of sin is not the problem. Believing in Christ is the issue. What sin did that man confess? He confessed Jesus as Lord. He said, I tell you, today you will be with me. Confessing sin is not the secret. The secret is confessing the answer to sin. Who is the answer to sin? Christ. That's all. These are spiritual laws. I know confessing sin makes some people feel good. Until we put a picture in that theology. What's that theology? Try confessing sins for 2 weeks. The first problem is that you're only confessing the ones you know. When you're looking at me, you are sinning. You don't confess that one. When you gossip behind my back, you didn't confess it. It was the lie you told Sister J. That he didn't pay my money back on time. What about that things you have done? You know, Jesus said that if a woman man will look at the man, look at lustfully, he has already committed. Even Moses did not say that. Even Moses would have trembled when Jesus was saying that. Oh, you want us to follow law? Let me tell you what the law represents. It is not that you need to commit the adultery physically. If you look at the woman lustfully, you have so you better leave the law and run to grace. And what was Jesus saying? You want to follow law? You will never be justified. You will never be justified. You will miss something. One way or the other. And law is so terrible that James says, if you do not steal, you do not commit adultery, but you lie. You are a liar, you are a thief, you are an adulterer. Why are you blaming for that? He said, that's who you are. You are a blasphemer. It's only lie. Say you are a blasphemer. You are a thief. You are an adulterer. What is that meant to tell you? Leave law. Divorce it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Glory to God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Don't go there, law. Deuteronomy 28:1. Very famous passage of scripture. First 14 verses. How many were quoted it? I have. You hug the blessing. And it's not blessing. It is not blessing. You know it's not blessing. How does it start? It shall come to pass. If thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all. That's where the problem. That the command of the day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high. Before you go to set on high, all the commands this day. That's not the blessing. That's the condition. Because that CV you are reading, only one man has it. His name is Jesus. So Christ is the hand of the law for righteousness to all them that believe. He fulfilled Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses. Not only the fulfilling, the curse that started from verse 15, he took it on himself. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it's written, curses every man that what? Angered on it. Guess what? When hung on the tree, I hung with him. So that when he rose and he's blessed, I was blessed with him. When he ascended, I ascended with him. When he sat, I'm seated with him. Blessed forevermore. Blessed beyond the curse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, where are we now? Let's go back to that John that took us to this journey. John 10. Okay, so verse, where are we? 30 now. See what it says. I and my Father are one. Next verse. Then the Jews took up stone again to stone him. Next verse. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed thee from who? My Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Look at how they answered. The Jews are saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, you make yourself. What was Moses' prophecy? In Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 6, my God appeared. When I get to the children of Israel and he asked me, who sent me? Who shall I say sent me? Tell them that the I am sent you. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. Almost God telling Moses, I will be a man to redeem man. So when he said, you be the man, you make yourself God, it's the reverse. I being God, I made myself a man. Oh, glory to God. Did you get that? Did you get what I just said? You be the man, you make yourself. I being God, I made myself what? A man. That's what Moses said. Why are they reading it backwards? Oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I'm beginning for, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? So in Moses' writings, he didn't just speak about Christ dying. Moses spoke of the resurrection of Jesus. Moses did. Moses preached the resurrection of Jesus. Moses preached, but he preached it. He spoke about God, that Christ will enter into his glory. And that glory is men. He's bringing many sons unto glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, let's see how Jesus continues. See what he says again. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? The question. What's Jesus quoting? Psalm 82 verse 5. Who said it? David. Psalm 82 verse 5. Look at the next verse. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Next verse. Say ye of him, next verse. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, and send it the word, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. Is he the Son of God? Yes. He said to those who the word came, listen, no. God said, you are gods. Now the word himself now came. Those who received the word, he called them gods by prophecy. Now, when the word now comes, can you say it's not blasphemy when it says, I am the Son of God? Are you getting the logic? So, in the writings of the prophets, it's already there. He said, they are slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So, Jesus, in teaching, he taught them from Moses. And he always singles Moses out. I'm beginning from Moses. Because without Moses, there's no point of reference. Moses was unique among all of them. Notice Jesus said, beginning from Moses and all the prophets, as though Moses is not a prophet. He's telling you he is unique. He stands out. All the prophets referenced him. He didn't reference any of them. So without Moses, the prophets don't even have a point of reference. They don't. So Moses' communication was stronger and deeper, and his verbiage and vocabulary is what we find on the lips of Jesus. He gave them manna from heaven. It was a lesson that God will send bread from heaven. So they had the physical manna, and they had the ability to sustain their flesh in the wilderness. What was Moses trying to preach? That Christ will come as God's bread. It will not just sustain your physical flesh, it will give you eternal life. It will become your life. Hallelujah. You understand that? It was Jesus who came on the scene and said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man also be what lifted. That whosoever believeth. Now, that's what Jesus said. What did Moses tell them? If you look, you will live. What did Jesus say about it? That when the Son of Man is lifted up, whosoever believeth. So looking is what? Believing. Did they get it? No. When they looked, did they live? Yes. Did they die after? Yes. But when you look at him that rose from the dead, glory to God, you live forever. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, John chapter 6, verse 50, and are dead. This is that bread that a man may eat and never die. So let me ask you a question. Is Jesus the figure of speech or manna is the figure of speech? Thank you. So what is God's bread, manna or Christ? Thank you. Matthew 26, 28. All right, quickly, let's move fast. Are you getting it? Thank you. For this is my... Okay, let's read before. What are the previous verses? Where did it start? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye what? All of it. That was meant to be the trigger point that will let them know this cannot be talking about natural blood. What was in the cup? Wine. What did he say when he gave them the cup? Drink ye all of it. When they were drinking, what did he say about the blood? He says, look at the next verse. For this is my blood of the New Testament. Is the testament physical or spiritual? So can you drink physical blood to enter a spiritual testament? No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Can you drink physical blood? That is spiritual testament. No, you can't. What was peculiar to the Old Testament? Physical sacrifices and activities. What makes the New Testament different? Spiritual sacrifice and what? Activities. So you can say the Old Testament is the shadow. The New Testament is the substance. We didn't get that. We can say that the Old Testament is what? The shadow. The New Testament is the substance. So things that happened there, they were patterns and dramas pointing to something that they could not see. They were what you call an hypodegma, like I mentioned during the series. Can you remember? That which points to something else. That's what it is. Something that was done to call attention to something that you cannot see. So we carry out an activity. You can see the activity. But the activity is meant to call your attention to an unseen what? Reality. Are we together? Good. So, Jesus, in John chapter 13, just follow me. John chapter 13, he removed his robe, tied around his waist, and after he did that, he took a cloth and a basin of water, began to wash his disciples' feet. And when he finished washing their feet, while he was washing, Peter looked at him and said, Lord, you shall never wash my feet. Because he looked at this as a menial task. Then Jesus said something important. That let Peter know this is not a menial task. Because washing of feet is a normal custom of the Jews. When you're coming from a long journey, particularly if you're a visitor, the servant of the house, when you are coming in, will actually take water and wash your feet as you're coming in. Okay? So it was not something new. It was the significance of the action that was now new. So Jesus washed his feet. Then Peter said, how can you, your mama, how can you wash my feet? You shall never wash my feet. Then Jesus now said, if I wash thee not, you have no part in me. Ha. Washing part in you. How? That's the first time they knew. He's not just washing my feet. He's telling me how he will wash away my sins. What is unbelief? To not take a basin of water. To be washing the feet of everybody that comes to this church. Because Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus taught, if I wash thee not, you have no part in me. As he washed you. As he washed you. As he washed you. Do you still need to be washed? No. Pastor, are you not saying we cannot do feet washing? If your feet is dirty, we don't mind, we wash it. Because we love you. But also, we don't want our floor to be stained. Is there any spiritual significance? Not at all. What is the significance of what Jesus has done? What did he do? He washed us. Revelation 1:5 says that, unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. Hallelujah. So Jesus took water. Let me ask again. What is God's water that we'll be looking at? What is God's blood? Thank you. Hallelujah. So, back to Matthew 26. When he gave them the cup, this is New Testament blood. Drink ye all of it. Is he talking about drinking physical blood? No. Drink ye all of it is receive all the benefits of my sacrifice. Hallelujah. Receive all the benefits. That's a trigger that he can't be talking about what is in this cup. This is my body broken for you. But the person that's talking to you is standing. His body is not broken. What should I let you know? He's not talking about this body. He's talking about this sacrifice, which is yet to take place. So when he says, take the cup, drink ye all of it, receive the fullness of my inheritance. That's why 1 Corinthians 12:13 now says something interesting. By one spirit have we all been made baptized into one body. We have been made to drink into what? One body. So when you drink Jesus' blood, what did you drink? His spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' blood is not tasty time. Hallelujah. It's not tasty time. Jesus' spirit is Jesus' water. That's Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus was not offered when he died. His blood was offered when he rose from the dead. That's why the Bible calls him a living sacrifice. If his blood was offered when he rose from the dead, how do you know, therefore, that the blood could not be something physical? In Luke 24, when they stood before the disciples, said, undo me and see. His spirit does not have flesh and bone like you see me have. His body did not have any drop of blood. Because that's a resurrected body. Then Paul will pick up 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Look at how Paul refers to this thing that you call blood. Moreover, brethren, 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit what? So flesh and blood is what? Corruption. Hallelujah. In case you are wondering if God takes you to heaven, why you cannot stay? Did you hear what I said? If God takes you to heaven, why can't you stay? Why can't you stay? You should be able to answer. Are you flesh and blood now? Yes. The body will give you, will it be flesh and blood? No. So that body can stay in heaven. This one cannot stay. This is corruption. This one will put on incorruption. Mortality shall be swallowed up for what? Immortality. Hallelujah. So this one comes from, not from God, from the first Adam. So the last Adam prepared another one for you that corresponds with the spirit he gave you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus went to heaven. There was no physical blood in his body. What was Jesus' blood? Hebrews 9:13. Hebrews 9:13. So if I didn't touch some spots yesterday and the day before, I've touched today. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:13. For if, can you see the condition? The blood of bulls and goats and ashes of an heifer. So if you don't understand the language of the writer of Hebrews, it's telling you there were two sacrifices. There's one that they will slaughter. There's one they will burn. They had several sacrifices. Ashes refers to the one they will burn, isn't it? And the one they will slaughter. So it says, sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of which part of man? The flesh. Look at next verse. How much more shall the blood of who? Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to who? Stop. Again, that's another point where people make you say, to offer himself to God doesn't mean God accepted blood. Let me ask you a question. Which kind of father accepts the blood of his son? Is it to drink? Wait on. You have come. Where's the blood? Bring it. It's even fresh. Well done. You have tried. What kind of father is that? Who delights in drinking blood of his son? So when the Bible says he offered himself to God, to offer yourself to God will mean to fulfill the purposes of God. What was God's purpose? To make man his temple. Where God will stay, God will clean. And God will clean where we stay by himself. Okay, I've jumped a little bit. Let me slow down again. He offered himself without spot to God. Look at what it says. He will purge your conscience from dead works. Can you see dead works? You can't. Can you see conscience? You can't. So whatever we touch conscience, we remove dead works. Two things that are unseen must also be what? Unseen. So what is Jesus' blood? Eternal spirit without spot. So it was not in death, pay attention, that Jesus offered himself. It was in life. He offered himself at his resurrection to God. So it was that life that was used to purge you and purge me from my sins. Glory to God. So by giving you his spirit, God automatically purges you from sin. So let me ask a question. What did God give you? His Holy Spirit. Okay, so why are you praying to be holy? He gave you his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit dwells in the most holiest of all. So, why are you praying to be holy? Except to be holier than thou. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. And the Holy Spirit stays in the holiest of all. So, where is the holiest of all now? In you. So, are you holy? Yes. You have to be able to say it though. Even when you don't feel like it. Me? I know what I did this morning. I'm not holy. They said we should fast. I ate at 12. Am I holy? No. See what it says. He poured your conscience from dead works. Was what? Serve the living God. Hallelujah. He purged us by his blood. Glory to God. Say the blood of Jesus, which is the Spirit of God, has purged me from all sins. Ephesians 1:7. Then Colossians 1:14. Let's read both together. One after the other. See what it says. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, to the riches of his grace. So can we say, in whom we have redemption through his spirit? Is that correct? Yes, it's correct. So in whom we have redemption through his spirit, even forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Say, God purged my heart by his spirit. I'm justified. The status of the spirit he gave me is my status forever. God's dream has come to pass. I am his house now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm God's house. I'm God's house. And I'm God's house forever. So John 63:63 that we'll be looking at says that the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickens. John 6:63. He says, it is spirit that quickens, flesh profits nothing. These ones that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. So when God spoke through Moses and Jesus was speaking, what did he want you to pay attention to? His words. You look beyond the feet washing. You look beyond the Passover meal. You look to the reality of what you are seeing. On that last day, that great day of the feast, John 7:37, Jesus cried out saying, if any man come unto me, if any man let him come unto me and drink, as is written, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's not expecting you to start looking for rivers flowing out of your belly. No. As it is written, you won't find that verse anywhere. You find some verses close to it, but Jesus is putting the scriptures together. Remember how he explained in the book of Luke, and beginning from Moses and all the prophets. So Moses said some things, David said some things, Joel said some things, Habakkuk said some things, Jonah said some things, Ezekiel said some things, Jeremiah said some things. Jesus now puts everything together because he is the saints out of all their sin. Hallelujah. They are prophets. They speak for God. So when God comes on the scene, he takes what they said together and explains it by explaining himself. Hallelujah. Do you understand that so far? That is exactly what happened. So when Jesus is saying, as it is written, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. You should know he cannot be talking about thirsty for water. So in God's view, a man is thirsty when he has not received of Jesus. When he has not received Christ. He does not know he is thirsty, but he is thirsty. And Bible now says next verse, this speak ye of the Spirit, which did that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So let me ask again. What does it mean for Jesus to be glorified? Resurrection. What will the resurrection accomplish? If any man thirsts, he will be what? Filled with what? Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Can you see it that way? Hallelujah. Can you see now? Okay. It's so important that we see all those scriptures because they are pointing to the same truths. They are pointing to the same truths. Maybe tomorrow we'll be able to step over into Moses' cry was answered. Imagine after leading 2 million people through the Red Sea. I said yesterday, no man experienced Moses like miracles like Moses did. No man. Even Jesus did not. After 3 days of teaching, people were hungry. Jesus asked them, do we have bread here? Moses didn't ask anybody for bread. He commanded bread to fall from heaven. When people were thirsty and they wanted water, Moses looked for a rock and spoke to the rock. Water came out. It's a miracle. Moses was a man of miracles. Moses. A man hold up his stick, Red Sea parted. And he parted long enough for 2 million people to pass by. And you think those people were in faith? People that know how to murmur and grumble. People that made Moses give up more than once. They just had stiff-necked people. Paul now tells us that rock from which they drank, that rock that followed them was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10. Here's where you can miss it. No rock was following them. Figure of speech. The rock that followed them was Christ. They all drank of this spiritual rock. To drink of that rock is the gospel. Moses preached the gospel to all of them. They had the same experience. Did they drink physical water? Yes, from a rock. What was that rock meant to call their attention to? Christ. Did they see it? Because after they drank that water, they still died. 1 Corinthians 10. Let's just quickly read that part. We'll leave the rest till somewhere. Okay, so I will not that you should be all that all our fathers are under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized on the Moses' cloud, and they all did the same spiritual meat, they all drank of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that what? Followed them. And that rock was, what does my follow them? Moses kept preaching about the rock. He kept preaching about Christ. Because the word rock in the Old Testament represents God's salvation to Israel. Tomorrow we'll go to Deuteronomy. You will sit in Deuteronomy that how Moses spoke about God as the rock of their salvation. So when Jesus says that upon this rock, he's still quoting Moses. I will build my church. Upon this rock, Jesus is still quoting Moses. Or rather, Moses was quoting Jesus. And Jesus took his words back. And explained the way that Moses could not explain it. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And then we'll see how Moses' heart cry was answered from the mouth of John. After Jesus rose from the dead, John wrote to us the Gospel of John. John told us and said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The same thing that Moses wanted and he couldn't see. You know what John was saying? We saw God when he became a man. We saw God, a man. It was what Moses was asking for when he said, show me your glory. We'll go to the syntax. In the book of Exodus 33, if you read it from verse 18, now says that no man can see my face and live. The syntax, there's a syntax problem in that translation. Because when you see God, you are meant to live, not die. We'll look at how they put the words together. Because what it really says is that no man can see my face and not live. And to see his face there means to see my likeness, to see my resemblance, to see me in actual form. When people saw Christ, they lived. Hallelujah. What was Moses' cry? A man that had seen those kind of miracles. So Moses knew, there's more to God than those miracles we're seeing, than the assistance of angels. There's something greater, something bigger than that. Moses wanted it. God showed him. No man can see me, at least in your time. You can't see me now. Then I will show you things that will happen. I will cause my goodness to pass before you. That's a prophetic language. I will show you things that will happen in the future. So he showed Moses. And that's when Moses knew that the tabernacle of God is man. So he said, why did Moses not build tabernacle? Because they were stiff-necked in unbelief. So he gave them outer court, inner court, holiest of all. And you know, outer, inner, holiest is still man. Because tabernacle of God is with who? It's with man. Hallelujah. So imagine, you know, it's like chancing. What Moses was crying for, John Joseph very calmly, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the living God and the Father, full of grace. And we saw it. No, you know, you can see it. You were not there with John and Peter. Even Peter told us, we had a voice from excellent glory that said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well what? So Peter also saw that glory. John saw that glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Amen. Did you get something tonight? All right, let's stand to our feet and give God thanks. And then we'll begin to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We will conclude tomorrow. It's tomorrow we can conclude. Just like that. When did we start? And there are things we ought to look at. When did we start? Is it just 12 days? Like, today is the 11th. We can't finish it. We'll keep on Wednesdays. Is that okay? We keep on looking at the rest of this on Wednesday. Because there's more to look at. How many know there's more to look at? We're still going to go to the communion table. Not the one that we taught here. The one that Paul spoke about. We'll pieces it. We'll look at it. What was he trying to say? Because you will see a door figure. You will see the reason why he wrote it that way to the church at Corinth. Because they were carnal. He didn't use that language for any church but Corinth. The Corinthian brethren were special brethren. They were special brethren. The Corinthian church, they were special brethren. Their language that Paul used for them, he didn't use it for any church. And that's why I use that kind of language for them, because of the way the closest church to them that I used something similar for were the church at Galatia. Where for the first time, something that was not recorded in any of the other epistles, Paul had to go back to Abraham. Abraham had two sons. He went back to Moses' figure of speech to explain something basic to them because they were embracing the law. So he had to go under the law, pick out what Moses said to show them. Can you see what you want to hold on to? Oh, look at it. Let's pray in the name of Lord Jesus. I move forward with ease. I step over obstacles. I leap over hindrances. I run with the energy of God. Walk in God's power. I demonstrate his faithfulness. Testimonies abound to my account. In all I do, Christ is glorified. I see ease. I see ease. I see ease. I see ease. Things work for me. Things work for me. I stand out in all my affairs. I experience God's favor on every side. I will never be stranded. I will never be stuck. I am supernaturally helped. I am mightily aided by the power of God. I am propelled by the power of God. I pursue projects. I discover new things. I overcome challenges. In the name of Jesus, I succeed with ease. For the power of God is backing me on. I am not a failure. I refuse to back down. I call 2021 a year of great success. 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 A year of great ease for me in all areas of life. Glory to God. Lift your hands and give him praise, man. Lift your hands and give him praise tonight. We exalt you. Oh, we thank you. We step out. Oh, we start new things with ease. All we set out to do, we succeed. We exceed all expectations. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we're driven by the power of God. We're helped by the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we are coming tomorrow evening. Except God directs us in our direction. Just know that we're going to give thanks. Hallelujah. So there will be utterances. Amen. Utterances. Things that God will say through you, through me. Things that they will say through us as we yield by the power of God. Amen. Have a wonderful night.